This evening we've come to the fourth commandment. And I suppose of all the commandments, this perhaps is the most controversial of the commandments. And I suspect it's controversial for a number of reasons, but primarily because it's hard for us to understand what it is to really rest. So it's my prayer that this evening, as we consider specifically this fourth commandment, that we will come to appreciate that a congregation which is healthy and growing celebrates the Lord's Day, and that we do so with hope. So let's listen to the Word of God as I read for us Deuteronomy chapter 5, the first 21 verses. And Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the rules that I speak in your hearing today. You shall learn them and be careful to do them. For the Lord your God made a covenant with us in Horeb. Not with our fathers did the Lord make this covenant, but with us, who are all of us here alive today. The Lord spoke with you face to face at the mountain, out of the midst of the fire, while I stood between the Lord and you at that time, to declare to you the word of the Lord. For you were afraid because of the fire, and you did not go up into the mountain. He said, 'I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is on the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant, or your ox, or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long, and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not desire your neighbor's house, his field, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's.'" Let's pray. Father, we come again to you, asking that you would encourage us as we consider this word that you've given us, this commandment, that we may keep it, and in doing so, show our love for you. And would you be pleased to love us? Jesus, may you indeed love us all the more, that we might walk faithfully before you to the praise of your great name. Amen. I'm suggesting that there are five words that will help us appreciate how it is that we may celebrate the Lord's Day with hope. And each of these words will begin with the letter D. And the first one is the day. The day. Observe the Sabbath day, Moses tells the covenant people of God. The Sabbath day, or the seventh day. Apparently, God has made it plain, has he not, that he has given us 6 days in which we are to do all of our work. And on that seventh day, he says that we are to rest. This Sabbath day, as it plays itself out in the old economy of the covenant of grace, came at the end of the week, if you please. And when we think about this business of the seventh day, what do we think of first? Well, if you're like I am, you think of that second chapter of the book of Genesis. That second chapter where the creating God, who made all things, did what? After he saw that all he had done was very good, we find that he rested. Listen to what we find there in Genesis chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. And that's the reason that the Lord God gave to his people there at Sinai when he originally gave the Ten Commandments, isn't it? For keeping, for remembering the Sabbath day. He says in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Why? Because I am resting on this day. And as my image bearers, you too are called upon to rest on the seventh day. So it's a legitimate question, I would suggest. If we're supposed to rest on the seventh day, why do we gather on the first day of the week? And why does our Constitution, why does our Confession of Faith say the Christian Sabbath? And why are we, I trust, more accustomed to saying the Lord's Day? Well, the reason that's given to us in this sermon of Moses in the second giving of the law gives us that Old Testament basis for why it is that we move to the first day of the week. Did you catch it? Remember what he says here as to why we're to keep this day? Because you're to remember something that specifically happened in your history. And what was it? It was that I brought you out of Egypt, where you used to be slaves, where all you did was work, 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 and then work. And I heard your cry, and I brought you out of Egypt to give you rest from that perpetual work. And it's because of that that a lot of people look at this commandment and say the rest that he's primarily talking about is salvation rest. Salvation in a sense that before we come to know God and his saving grace, We spend our lives working, 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 hoping to realize God's approval and therefore be accepted when we die into His rest. It's a good idea, and some giants of the faith will set that forth as the primary reason for keeping the Lord's Day, but I'm just not persuaded. That's certainly true. But there's something more significant about this idea of God bringing His covenant people out of Egypt. And I think that it really points them to the true firstborn of Israel, the true firstborn of God. Who's that? That's Jesus. That's Jesus. And what do we find out about Jesus? We find out that Jesus has to go down into Egypt, doesn't he, after he's born? And we find that Jesus has to come out of Egypt, doesn't he, after he's born? What's that all about? Well, it's all about Jesus, who one day is going to do what? He's going to die. And why is he going to die? He's going to die because we're enslaved to our sins. In order for us to be set free from that, he must go to the cross and he must die. But he's not going to stay on that cross. He's going to go to the grave. And he's not going to stay in the grave. What's he going to do? He's going to come out of Egypt. And on what day does he do that? Well, he comes out of the grave on the first day of the week. So, we don't focus any longer on the fact that God created in 6 days and rested, as important as that is, and that certainly gives us the cycle of one of six and one, six and one. But what do? We move it from that day in which God says under the old economy to rest to the day under the new economy that we're to rest. Why? Because this is the day that the Lord Jesus Christ secured for us genuine rest. Real rest. Rest that enables us to do the work that we do Monday through Saturday. And listen, as the creation is groaning and travailing for the revealing of the sons of God, as sons and daughters of God, working for the praise and glory of the one who's set us free from our selfishness to serve God and therefore till the creation in such a way that the creation says, this is good. So it helps us appreciate the 6 days that we labor as image of God comes out of our resurrected life in Jesus Christ. And so we find, indeed, in the old economy of the covenant of grace, certainly the saints gather together as Jesus' custom was on the Sabbath day. But after His resurrection, and after His ascension, and after His coronation, what happens? We begin to see that the people of God did things uniquely on the first day of the week. Gather and bring your gift together that we're going to help those who are in need with. And then that passage in Acts, the first day of the week was that day when the saints gathered together and broke bread. And we know what it is to break bread on that first day of the week, as the children of God celebrated the death of Christ until He comes again. The day. Under the old administration of the covenant of grace, indeed it was Saturday, according to our calendar. But now that Christ has come forth, now that the firstborn of God has come out of Egypt, now that He's died, buried, and been resurrected, we move to observing the day, on the first day of the week, to celebrate the true rest that we have in Jesus Christ. But we'll be talking more about that. All right, the second D, day, duty. What do the scriptures principally teach? Well, they principally teach what we're to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of us. The day, the duty. And what's the duty that he sets forth for us? I don't know about you, but I love this kind of duty. Rest. Don't work. Come on. Are we that much of a workaholic that we have to work 7 days a week? Well, unfortunately, many, 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 many people are. Many, 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 many businesses believe that they have to in order to have a profit at the end of the day. One of the things that boggled my mind when I served in Ridgefield Park as the pastor of the congregation, Paramus County, one of the richest counties of North Jersey, am I right? The oldest and the biggest mall in New Jersey. The second biggest mall in New Jersey. To this day, all the malls are closed on Sunday. And I remember when it was on the ballot, while I was there, should we open the malls? And it was defeated resoundingly. And the articles in the newspaper, the people who worked in those malls were saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, 1,000 times, thank you for giving us the freedom to rest. 1 in 7. Hackensack Mall also is closed. That's 5 malls in New Jersey that do not do commerce on the Lord's Day. And then I scratch my head. When people who name the name of Jesus do commerce on the Lord's Day. I remember when I was in Sterling, Kansas, there were 2 grocery stores. The one closed on the Lord's Day, and the other one stayed open. And I remember once, after I'd been there a while, I said to the clerk, why do you stay open? So the people from your church can buy on Sunday. What a knife. What a knife. How much clearer can it be? Who's exempt from resting on the Sabbath? Who's exempt? Your son, your daughter, your male servant, your female servant. Everything in your barn. And by the way, the stranger who's inside your gate. You know, the one that we say, well, pagan Harry, he'll work on Sunday so I don't have to. That's the one. The sojourner within your gate. Oh, but Pastor Bruce, what about Jesus? What about Jesus? Isn't he the one that got into all the trouble for breaking the Sabbath? Isn't he the one who constantly is called on the carpet for breaking the Sabbath? Isn't he the one who was constantly being accused of working? Yes, he was. Oh, wasn't he? Over and over. Just sit down sometime and do a search on the word Sabbath in the New Testament and see how many times Jesus is connected with Sabbath, and then see how many times he's doing something and being accused for doing it. Now, here's the question. What is he doing? What is Jesus doing on the Sabbath? If we indeed are to be his image bearers, then we need to understand what it is that he did, don't we? Well, what did he do? It was his custom to be where? In the synagogue. To do what? To worship God. With whom? The people of God. That they might have the word of God opened and understood as it was set before them. And Jesus, on occasion, was the one who did that. And there, I don't think, are any Christians who would say, the Lord's day is not for worship. Well, I take that back. I'm thankful that my son and his wife down in Florida go to church on the Lord's day. But they don't go to worship. They don't go to worship. It's a seeker-sensitive gathering. Their worship's Wednesday night. That's when they get together for worship. The Lord's day is for those who can come out and have themselves indeed entertained with excellent entertainment and God-centered kind of entertainment. But I asked my son to ask the pastor, is this a worship service? And he's all, come on, Dad. And he asked. And he said, no, it's not. Jesus gathered with the saints to worship. What else did he do? Oh, he healed, didn't he? And oh, how many times did he get in trouble for healing? And almost every time he's confronted with the fact that he heals someone, what does he say? He says, the Sabbath was made for man. The Sabbath was made for man. So that we can rest. Really rest. And here's the one with a withered hand. Can you imagine how that one with a withered hand had to work? What's Jesus do? He heals that hand. So he could go work 6 days to the glory of the one who healed him. Which one of you, if you find your donkey, well, if you have a flat tire, won't you change it? What's that all about? Well, we understand healing is an act of mercy, don't we? What about changing flats? It's an act of necessity. And Jesus emphasizes that, doesn't he? When he's accused of picking the grain on the Sabbath and having something to eat. And we say, oh, we can go out to eat on Sabbath. As long as it's free and nobody's working, you're allowed. Oh, we don't want to meddle. We just want to try to understand. Try to understand what it is to keep the Sabbath day in a way that honors the one who has set us free. From being workaholics. And indeed from trying to work out our salvation without the grace of God in our lives. Healing and eating. Those are the things other than worship that we find Jesus doing. I look forward to the Lord's Day. We gather together to worship. And sometimes we gather together to have fellowship meals. Certainly we try to have people into our home so we can fellowship around the table. And you know, Kim can set that stove and push a button and it does the work when she's here. It's amazing. And if you don't want to go into that detail, there's plenty that can be made on the fly. And it satisfies us just as well, doesn't it? I'm thankful that Kim and Flo had an opportunity to go to the home. Why? Because there they can fellowship with the saints and enjoy what it is to have a day that I don't have to work. And yes, there ought to be drugstores open, and yes, there ought to be hospitals open, and yes, indeed, in institutions, meals are served. Just scratch my head and wonder if McDonald's is an institution that has to be open. Chick-fil-A has taught us it doesn't. And for what it's worth, there were some farmers in Sterling, Kansas, who understood that you didn't have to feed your cattle on the Lord's Day so that when you came to worship, you could stay awake. Because when you get up and go out and feed cattle at 5 in the morning when it's 10 degrees outside, you know what happens when you get into a warm room. God gives you rest. And you sleep. And they realize, I don't have to do this. And there are those who even talk about not milking the cows twice on the Lord's Day. They make up for, they do it 3 times the other days. But when you begin to wrestle with, how is it that we may dutifully keep this day that the Lord has given us to remember the great salvation that we enjoy in our resurrected Savior, we can come up with all kinds of unique and vibrant ways that even those who are looking at the bottom line will begin to say, you know what, I might make more money if I stay closed on the Lord's Day. And if I stay open. And I pray that we as Christians will be at the vanguard when it comes to celebrating the Lord's Day and talking to the world about the joy. And so, quickly, this third D is delight. And it comes from that passage that I remember being confronted with when I began to wrestle with, well, what am I supposed to do on Sunday? Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy day of the Lord honorable. If you honor it, not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasure, or, and I'm sure this is where the Westminster Larger and Shorter Catechism, or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord. I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And I think of that time when the Lord provided manna. Remember? And what did he say? He said, go out tomorrow and gather just what you're going to be able to eat. So you go out and you gather more than you can eat and you put it away and you wake up in the morning and it's maggots. And the next day you go out and you gather just enough and everything's fine. And the next day, and the next day. And the Lord says, oh, and by the way, on the day before Sabbath, gather twice as much. Whoa. Wait a minute. I did that once. I remember what happened. Or I didn't do it, but my neighbor did it. And I remember what happened. I'm not about to have that stinky stuff in my tent tomorrow morning, so I don't gather twice as much. What do you know what happened? Yeah, you do. There was no store open the next day. The manna didn't come. Oh, delight. Delight yourself in the ways of the Lord. They seem so contrary to the way of the flesh, and in fact they are. Because the way of the flesh is that which feeds the flesh. But the way of the Spirit is that which finds its sustenance in the Word of God. So, indeed, we delight. Turning our feet away from those Monday through Saturday pleasures that are God-honoring pleasures. And certainly turning our way, feet away from those things that are simply pleasurable to us. And not only do we turn ourselves away from them because it's the Sabbath, but we ought to stop finding pleasure in them during the week as well. Sometimes it's the Sabbath day that we keep that enables us to understand why those things are not satisfying. So we delight in the Lord's day. We celebrate it with hope. And so the final D is with desire. With desire. It is indeed in Hebrews 10, is it not, where we're told that we are to encourage one another all the more as we see the day approaching to get out to worship, not forsaking the assembly of the saints. We desire to be there, and we desire our brothers and sisters to be there with us. But there's a greater desire that lies behind our weekly assembly. And it's found in that word Maranatha. Used at the end of 1 Corinthians 16, I think 20. Used in Revelation 22:20. Come, Lord, come. What is the day of the Lord? Throughout the old administration of the covenant of grace, it was the day that the Lord came and brought His judgment, or the day that the Lord came and brought His blessing. What is the weekly Lord's Day all about? But it's in anticipation of that which we most desire, to depart this life and go to be with the Lord, is it not? For me to die is gain, and to live is Christ. That I might serve. Do we desire to be there in that rest that yet remains? when this perishable will put on the imperishable, and this corruptible the incorruptible, and this mortal the immortal. And there will be no longer any weeds or thorns or thistles. There will be no longer any tears. Oh, will be when the Lord Jesus returns. Body and spirit, a living soul, inheriting the earth, those golden streets. Oh, do we desire? Do we desire the coming of Christ? We look for His coming. So what do we do Saturday night? Do we prepare? Do we really prepare? What do we do every day of our life? Do we really prepare for the real rest that yet awaits us at the coming of Jesus? And how does today, and how does February 26, and how does March 4, I think it is, whatever the first Lord's Day in March, and 11 and 18, how do those days help us manifest the delight that we have doing the things that our Savior delighted to do, desiring that coming of Jesus and our hearing from Him. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into my rest. Real rest. So a healthy and growing congregation following the Lord's leading celebrates the Lord's Day with hope. And just as a footnote, it is in that passage of Acts chapter 20 where Paul is gathered breaking bread with the saints the first day of the week in order to tell them that he's going to be leaving town the next day. I didn't remember this till I read it. That worship service went till midnight. And Eutychus fell out of the window because he was sleepy. So we're not going to stay till midnight. We're going to turn. We're going to sing from Psalm 116, the A selection.